Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue by singing together from Psalter 133, all three stanzas. Within thy temple, Lord, we think on mercies past. Let earth all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. The righteous judgments of our King, let Zion and her daughters sing. 133, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45, but first we'll hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal creator of the heavens and of the earth, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee, that almighty, only, true, just God and Savior. And in thy goodness and mercy, we may be together again in this morning in thy house, again to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word that thou hast given unto us and to our children, thy word that can make us wise unto that only way of salvation in thee and through thee, a triune God. Lord, we beg thee then, as we have been spared in these past weeks, thou hast not taken any of us away, and we may again gather under thy precious word. We've heard law and gospel. O Lord, wilt thou richly bless it by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit? Give life, Lord, because by nature we are born dead in sins and trespasses, and thou art the only one who can give life. Life is not of man, it's of thee. Thou art that only God, as we have heard in thy precious word that was read unto us. There is none else. Lord, unto whom else can we go but unto thee? That only true, almighty, holy, and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty, and yet we also read in thy word, who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. O Lord, we beg thee then, as thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in their midst. Be in our midst today, Lord. Give a blessed day, that thou would work among us irresistibly, taking away hearts of stone and giving hearts of flesh, that boys and girls, teenagers, adults, older ones, may come to that place where they begin to truly confess their sin against thee, thee only. Have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight? But also become true publicans in their hearts, crying unto thee, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And may there be those also who may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, thou knowest each one of us, how we have come into thy house. Thou knowest our hearts, whether there's life or it's still all death. Whether we have come with a hunger and a thirst, with a longing, with a cry, as beggars, that the Lord would visit me, that the Lord would give a little token of favor for such an unworthy sinner. Lord, wilt thou give through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be food for the hungry? Thou art that bread of life. Thou alone can feed hungry, thirsty, needy, guilty, poor sinners. O Lord, wilt thou do it for thy name's sake and for the comfort of poor sinners? Thou knowest those who have come into thy house with a load of guilt, who maybe cannot sleep because of their guilt, who must die and cannot die. And how can they die? Lord, wilt thou give them through thy word that they may be instructed in that only way of salvation, through thy Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember those who are looking to so many other things except unto thee. Lord, they are lost yet, Pharisees, but also worldly ones like the prodigal, either looking all to the world to satisfy their flesh or looking to self and what their own righteousness, and yet lost. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, take away from all false foundations and bring to that only foundation, to that rock, thy dear Son. And Lord, by nature, we do not have a need for him. We don't look to him. We look to everything else. It's our guilt, Lord. We have left thee in paradise, never to turn unto thee again. And what a wonder, as thou hast gone after our covenant head, Adam, where art thou? Thou art still willing to speak unto us, to call unto us, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and none else. Lord, bless thy word richly, powerfully. Give ears to hear, give minds to understand, eyes to see, but hearts that receive thy word, that believe in thy word. Lord, by nature we only bring forth unbelief. We're enemies. Wilt thou work that true saving faith in the hearts of sinners, that we hear thy law and we say, guilty, and that there is a need for that precious Savior, that there's a hunger for him, that thou would lead and draw unto him and reveal thyself, who thou art, for unworthy, guilty, lost, hell-worthy sinners. Lord, we beg thee then, bless thy word richly today here in this house. Remember each one and all the cares and the needs, especially for their never-dying soul. But may we lay also before thee all the needs of all those who are mourning. Remember them, Lord. Widows, widowers, those who have lost children, those who have lost a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend. Lord, we beg thee, thou art that God of all comfort, and teach of that only comfort in life and in death, that we would see and know by the work of thy grace and Holy Spirit that I do not belong to myself, but that I belong unto him, that faithful Savior who has bought me, who has paid for me with his precious blood. Oh, remember those who are longing for a little comfort. Comfort them, Lord, but comfort also the mourners. Remember all the sick and afflicted with all the cares for the body, for the mind. Remember each one. And may we especially ask thee to remember Mrs. Henrietta Schulten in the hospital for several weeks. Lord, remember her in thy mercy. Give strength, give healing, and bless thy word yet, that may she may hear, that her family and others may read unto her, to her never dying soul. Remember her husband and the whole family. Remember also Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf. We give thee thanks, Lord, that he may return home. And yet there are many cares, as he has an infection. Bless the medication that he may heal, and that in time he also may receive radiation, and that it may be blessed. But Lord, sanctify all the callings that come unto us through thy word, but also through the acts of thy providence. Thou art speaking, prepare to meet thy God. Lord, prepare us. Work mightily, irresistibly. Give life and draw unto that only one who is the life, the way, and the truth. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the world. Apply it by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit among Jew and Gentile. Lord, richly bless thy word unto thy people. Take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see that the New Testament that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, do wonders among thy covenant people, but also throughout the world. Help all those who bring thy word. Lord, give all that is needed. Teach, lead, guide, instruct, and that we may be instruments in thy hand for the coming of thy kingdom, for the conversion of sinners, and the edification of thy dear people. Bless thy word also richly in Bolivia. Remember the team there and their families, the church workers. Help them, Lord. Help them in the language. Help them to adjust to the culture, and may they be richly used in thy hands, that many may hear thy word, be born again, and come to worship thee. Remember the elders, the deacons there, and all thy servants, and remember especially Pastor Marco. Lord, we beg and pray thee, richly bless thy word, mightily, powerfully, to the salvation of many Bolivians. But remember us also here. We all have the same needs. We all have a never-dying soul, and soul lost, all lost. Lord, we beg thee, then give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word here in Cortland this morning, and give that it may be simple, that it may be clear, that it may be according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that thou would apply it powerfully, irresistibly to the hearts of children, boys and girls, teenagers, to the whole congregation. Lord, look down upon us in mercy. Thou could righteously and justly pass us by because of all of our sins. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, cleanse us, wash us from all our many sins, and look upon us, hear us, and answer us because of thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 184, the first five stanzas. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand, deep waters o'er me roll. Psalter 185, the first five stanzas, and the collections for today is for the church and the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, Isaiah was called to speak, thus saith the Lord. He was a servant of God. And in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, he had to bring, to sum it up, many judgments to Israel because of their sin, because of their wickedness. They weren't looking to God, they were looking to idols. And then when we come to chapter 40, then it begins with, comfort ye, my people. And then through the rest of Isaiah, there's many words of comfort for poor, needy sinners. And then we come to chapter 45. And God calls Isaiah to speak to Israel before they even go into captivity, that there will come a Savior, that he will raise up a man to bring his captive Israel back to Israel, back to the land. Physical Israel will be delivered by a physical Savior back into their nation. And then as you read this chapter, we read of a man's name, Cyrus. The Lord is going to raise up a man, his name is Cyrus, and he's going to be a Savior with a small s. The Lord is going to use him to bring his captive people back to Israel. But this chapter speaks of another Savior. And now imagine Isaiah speaking this message to Israel. And they hear that they're going to go into captivity. And they hear that the Lord is going to raise up a Savior, a man, to bring them back. And naturally then, you can imagine Israel already looking for a man, for a king to bring them back. To put hope in a man, to put hope in someone, yes, provided by God, but only for a physical deliverance from exile, from captivity, to be brought back. But there's a much greater need, Israel. And that's a need that you have and I have. We need to be delivered from captivity also. We also need to be delivered from bondage of sin, Satan, and world, and from self. We need a mighty Savior. We need an almighty Savior that can deliver sinners. And in this chapter, the Lord speaks, and Isaiah must proclaim, of a greater Savior, of an only Savior, not just to bring out of a physical captivity, but out of a spiritual captivity. Because no matter where we are on this earth, we need to be saved. We need to be reconciled with God, whether you're in Canada or whether you're in Bolivia. We're all the same lost sinners, and we need God's grace. We need a Savior for our never-dying soul. And so we come in this chapter, Israel, don't look for that man coming. Look to a greater Savior. Look to the only Savior. And he speaks. He speaks. And that's what we will consider this morning from Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. He has a word to Israel, but it's a word also for us this morning. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So far, God's word. And with the Lord's blessing and the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme and 3 points. A loving command. Yes, it's a command. When you study that first word, look, it's a command. Look unto me. It's a command. And so our theme is a loving command. Look unto me and be ye saved. So that's the theme. A loving command. Look unto me and be ye saved. 3 thoughts. First, an urgent command. Yes, it's urgent, congregation. It's absolutely urgent. You're perishing. You're perishing without God's grace, and you need a Savior. Be ye saved implies we're lost. Children, by nature, we're lost. Teenagers, we're perishing. Adults, older ones, whether you live very worldly or you live as a Pharisee without God's grace, without a Savior, we're lost. It's an urgent command, a loving command. Look unto me and be ye saved. An urgent command, our first thought. But it's also an encouraging command. An encouraging command. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. And is this command trustworthy? Our last thought, a trustworthy command. I am God and there is none else. And so the theme, a loving command. Look unto me and be ye saved. An urgent command, an encouraging command, and a trustworthy command. May the Lord richly bless his word by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And so our first thought, an urgent command. Congregation, we all get messages today, sometimes in the mail or sometimes in other ways. We get a message. It says urgent, bold letters, urgent, open immediately. Don't throw it away. You need to read it. And what do? Naturally, we say, really? It's that urgent? We delete it? We throw it in the garbage because we know those are only ways that we would truly open it. And it's just false messages. But congregation, dear congregation, children, boys and girls, teenagers, adults, this morning, there's an urgent command. It's not from man. It's not from me. It's from the Almighty God. He has an urgent command. Look unto me and be ye saved. Why? Because by nature, we're lost. We're absolutely lost. How did we become lost? God didn't make you this way. God didn't make me this way. He made us perfect. He made us in his image. And at the end of creation, he could look upon man and say, behold, it is very good. Man was only looking unto God. Man didn't have his back to God. He was his center of his joy, every day. But why do we need this morning an urgent command? What happened? Open your Bible to Genesis 3, verse 6. When is the first time we read about man looking, using his eyes? We read at the end of creation, God saw, and behold, it was very good. But when do we read the first time of man using his eyes? That's in Genesis 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. Satan came, and through the serpent was tempting Eve. And then we read in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she had already listened to the voice of Satan to be made wise, to become as gods. And now in the past, maybe she passed that tree and maybe she looked at that fruit with reverence and awe. But now she's looking at that fruit. She's looking at that tree with different eyes. Eve has listened to the voice of Satan. And now she looks at it with a desire to be made as gods. We fell in paradise. We gave our ear to Satan. And we turned away from God. Not looking to him, but only looking and listening to the voice of Satan and longing to become as gods. And now we're born. Not looking to God. Not looking to the Savior. We're looking away from him. We're looking only to self, to Satan, to the world, to fill our own hearts with all sin and wickedness. I'll give you a few examples, children, to show you what you are, what I am. We're like Achan. Remember that first city in Canaan? They were to bring all the gifts that they received and they were to give it all to God. In the next cities that they captured, they may take gifts for themselves. But now you see a man walking and he sees some treasures, Achan.
And he doesn't obey. He takes it. He sees it. He covets it. And he hides it. You see our fallen state? That's you and me. We don't obey God's law. And we look to things, coveting, desiring it for ourselves instead of giving it to God. Another example. I think of Ahab. He was a king. And he had so much. He was a king. But he saw a vineyard, Naboth. And he wanted to have it. But Ahab, you have so much. No, he had an eye for Naboth's vineyard and he wanted to have it. And we know that what happened. Jezebel made a wicked plan and Naboth was killed. And Ahab could have that vineyard. He saw it. He coveted. He looked. He wasn't looking to God's law. He wasn't looking to the Lord. He was looking to satisfy his own flesh. I think of Lot. Remember? Lot and Abraham, they came into a disagreement, and then they had to make a choice. Lot didn't say to Abraham, "Abraham, you first." No, Lot looked with his eyes, and he looked towards Sodom, and he saw that beautiful pastures, and he chose that place with his heart, with that best place for himself, with covetousness. Samson, a judge, a child of God, he saw the Philistines. Women, and he wanted to have a wife from the Philistines. And I think of David also. He saw with his eye Bathsheba. Eyes are windows to our souls, congregation, because what we look at is what we desire in our heart. What you look at, what you focus on, what you desire, what you love to see, and what you focus on shows you what heart you have, what heart I have. What we desire, we look for. What we love, that's what we search for. And so you and I, we are born looking away from God, looking away from his law. We're born dead in sins and trespasses with a desperately wicked heart. No love for God, no need for a savior, no love for his law, enemies separated. And God speaks. He speaks to such sinners in his mercy and goodness. He calls. He sincerely calls. No, he commands, "Look unto me and be ye saved." I was in Bolivia. And in Bolivia, sometimes you see, to say it simply, a parade going down the street. And you see some people carrying an image. And there's a band. And this last time, then we were sitting in a restaurant close to a plaza. And then again, we heard there was a band coming in march, but it was different this time. And I don't understand why at all. But they were carrying something. And all the people were looking to that image. And I thought, poor people looking. Maybe it was an image of a virgin. They have so many. Looking to that image, looking to that for hope. What poor people. But then I thought of you. Are we better? We're not better. You say, "I never look to an image." My friend, what's your idol? What are you looking at? What am I looking at? Are we focusing on our children? Are we focusing on our riches? Focusing on our houses? Focusing on so many things instead of looking to the Lord? Trying to satisfy ourselves with the things of this world. No need for God. They're lost. You are also lost. Even sitting in church under the truth. Unless God has renewed your heart. And that all that has become empty. Because there's a longing for God to be reconciled with him. And you begin living this way as a church member, and yet during the week, you just want to fill your heart up with all the things of this world, looking to the world. Or you could be a church member, and you can be such a Pharisee, and I say this with much love, satisfied with who you are, that you're better than other people. No, you wouldn't say this openly, but in your heart, you look to other people. They do this. They do that. I don't do that. But my friend, what is the focus of your heart, of your life? Is it God? Is it Jesus Christ as a Savior for your soul? Or is it yourself? And is it the world? And the Lord has an urgent command to all perishing, desperately wicked sinners. Look unto me and be ye saved. It's urgent, congregation. It's urgent. It's urgent when you're drowning to be rescued, right, children? It's urgent when you're in a house that's on fire to be taken out. But it's much more urgent that your soul would be saved by the grace of God. And he calls you to look to him because he is the God of all grace. He has absolutely everything you need for your perishing soul. Jonathan Edwards, he pictured it and see it. We know it, and we even confess it. But my friend, if you are without grace, unreconciled to God, you are hanging as a fraying thread above the abyss of hell, as Jonathan Edwards said, and at any moment that thread could break, and then you will plunge into eternal misery. It's an urgent command. Look unto me and be ye saved. And John the Baptist, he pictures it as the axe is already at the root. At any moment, your life could be cut off. And then, if you die without grace, without God, without a Savior for your soul, then you are forever lost. We read in Psalm 37, verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." It's urgent, children. It's urgent, teenagers, adults. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." It's urgent. And Luther said, "There's three things I dare not think of: his sins, death, and judgment, because death without Christ is the king of terrors." Oh, may I lay it before your heart, and may the Lord apply it powerfully, irresistibly, by the Holy Spirit, that it's urgent. You need to be saved, and we confess it, and we know all the truth here, but it needs to become here. It needs to become real. It needs to become the experience in your heart and soul. I'm lost. I'm guilty. And then that you hear, "Look unto me," it becomes such a wonder that the Lord calls such wretched, wicked, sinful, unbelieving sinners that look everywhere except to him, that he still calls and says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." And so it's urgent, congregation. Soul lost, all lost. The Bolivians need to be saved. Those that were looking at that image, hoping in that image. But you also need it. You also need to be saved. You need to be reconciled with the Almighty God. But it's not only an urgent command, it's also an encouraging command. It's encouraging. Sometimes we get a message and it can be so disappointing, or it can be so sad. But other messages can be encouraging. Encouraging. And what the Lord says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, on the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else," is such an encouraging message to perishing, guilty sinners. It's not only urgent, it's an encouraging command. Look, turn. Look away from sin. Turn unto me. Look unto me and be saved. What amazing, he doesn't say the opposite. "I've had enough." You've heard the word of God so many times, and you're still only looking away from me. You're still only looking to everything else to satisfy your flesh. But he says, no, he doesn't say, "I've had enough." He says, "Yet, today, this morning, sincerely, look unto me and be ye saved." Does he speak unto me? Could my name be included? Does he really sincerely call all? What does it say in the text? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. None is beyond the ends of the earth. It speaks to everyone as we are called, as the Lord Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, to everyone. And we read in the Canons of Dort, the second head, Article 5, moreover, the promise of the gospel is that whosoever believeth in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be declared and published to all nations and to all persons promiscuously, freely, and without distinction, to whom God, out of his good pleasure, sends the gospel. The Lord has sent his word unto you, congregation. The Lord has sent his gospel unto you. He has made a separation. He has, in his providence, between millions of other people upon this earth. There's millions on this earth who have never heard this urgent and encouraging command from the Lord. Look unto me and be saved. Congregation, there's none too far off. There's none too dead, none too hard, none too cold, none too old, none too wicked, none too vile, none too sinful. He calls, look unto me and be saved. But then we have a question. What is it to look? What is it to look? Well, children, if something captures your attention, something in your heart, then you want to look at it. You want to focus on it. Then you cannot look at two places. You have to turn away from something else, and you turn and you look. Look, in this word in Hebrew, means to focus. It means to turn away from absolute everything else and to focus, to look upon something. But this morning, it's not upon something. It's upon someone. It's to look unto him. He says, look unto me. Turn away from everything else and look unto me. Look unto me. And what a task the Spirit has to do in the hearts of sinners. Because by nature, we hear it. We say, nice to hear. We agree with it, maybe even. And yet our hearts are still only looking to everything else. By nature, we are just absolute enemies. We hear the urgent command. We hear an encouraging command. Look unto me. And yet, what a work the Holy Spirit needs to do. We need a radical renewal. We need a new heart. Because by nature, we are not looking. And yet, what a wonder, an encouragement, command, look unto me. And what a work the Holy Spirit needs to do to lead sinners to not look at this and this and this because we want to find things in ourselves to have comfort. But we cannot look at two places at once. We're either looking at what we have accomplished, what we have, our experiences, and all other things, or we are looking at him. And we read in Psalm 145, verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee. That's where the Lord leads his people. They see it. Everything they have is absolutely insufficient. All their righteousnesses are filthy rags. They have nothing. They become lost. They become bankrupt. And then to hear, what an encouragement. Everything is death and self. Nothing to please. Nothing to reconcile with God. But he says, look unto me. Look unto me. At the ends of the earth. But it's not only to the onto everyone. It becomes the experience. What does it mean? It becomes a feeling of separation. Separation. Open your Bible to Isaiah 59. And there we read of a separation. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. And he speaks this command unto such people. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. And yet, he speaks to such people feeling so separate. Is that you this morning? That your sins, that your iniquities and transgressions, maybe you have tried to make yourself better, but it only gets worse. You see more sin, more iniquities, more transgressions, and you feel that distance between you, your soul, and that Almighty God, that you long just for a little crumb of mercy, to have a little token of his favor, to have a smile for heaven, for you and for your soul. Your heart hungers and thirsts for the living God. But how has it become absolutely hopeless, lost, a wretch? He says, look unto me and be ye saved. What may we look to him for, congregation? What may we look to him for? We may look to him for everything. That's the preciousness of the gospel. We may come with nothing, with absolutely nothing, with all our sins and nothing to please God. And we may look to him for absolutely everything. Is your heart still as hard as a stone and you know you need a new heart? He says, look unto me. Why? Because he's the only one. He has the power to renew your heart, to give you a heart of grace that hungers and thirsts for him. He says, look unto me. Are you guilty? Are you guilty? And have you been looking for a way to be forgiven like Christian, longing to have that burden of his sin being taken away? Or do you have no burden? Knowing everything here, but no burden on your back because of all your sins that you have sinned against all the commandments. By God's grace, he leads his people, lost, guilty. By the Holy Spirit, they're in the school of grace, and they learn that they're guilty, and they want that guilt to be removed. They want to be forgiven. Why? To be reconciled with him because of love poured in their hearts because of him. We love him because he first loved us, and there's longing to be reconciled with him. Do you need grace to repent, to turn, to look? He has grace to make you willing, to make you able. He will cause sinners to abhor themselves. He will cause sinners to truly repent. He says, look unto me for grace, for a new heart, for pardon, for repentance. Are you afraid you will perish someday because of your flesh, because of the wickedness? You try to kill it, you try to press it down, but it just pops his head up again, and that wickedness flows out of your heart. You can't get rid of it. He says, look unto me. Look unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He has rest. He says, look unto me. Are you hungry? Thirsty? Do you need food for your soul? No, not just food for your body. But do you long for him to visit you? Remember me, Lord. He says, look unto me. I have everything because I am the bread of life. I'm the God of all grace. All grace. And he says, look unto me and be ye saved. No, he do not read, look unto me and save yourself. That's not what it says. Look unto me and be ye saved. In that verb in Hebrew, in saved, it's someone doing an action to someone else. So do you hear it? It's an encouraging invitation and a command because he says, look to me. Look to me because I am the only one that can save you, guilty, perishing sinner. Look unto me because I am the God that has the power, that has the grace for everything you need for your perishing soul. My friend, where are you looking? Ask yourself, don't look at anyone else. What is the focus of your heart and of your life? Is it still the world? Still the world? Then if it stays that way, then the world will perish and you will perish with the world. Are you like the rich young ruler? Is that you? Is that you satisfied? I can keep the law. You don't see it. It's all sin. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. Is your hope you? Do you hope to really meet the Lord with something of yourself? You will not ever be able to meet the Lord with anything of yourself. You need to become lost, absolutely lost. You can't meet him as a Pharisee. You can't meet him as self-righteousness of yourself. You can only meet him. And him who calls, look unto me and be saved. You can only meet him in peace. You can only meet him in reconciliation through one, through that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an urgent command. But it's also an encouraging command for poor, perishing sinners who have nothing and who need everything from another one. Is that you? Is that you needing everything? He calls. Oh, my prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you troubled, lost, hopeless sinner may hear it, that it may come into your soul, and that by grace he may draw you with those cords of love, and for the first time you may be just looking away from self, looking away, cursed in yourself. But listen, there's one who was made cursed. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Are you just ungodly? You have nothing. It's not your faith. It's not your repentance. It's not that your heart was renewed. It's all just ungodly, all sin, one mass of sin. He calls, look unto me and be ye saved. Do you hear it? Do you hear the love in his heart? Do you hear the love in the command? Do you hear how he longs? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why are you looking everywhere else? Why are you only looking to the world? Why are you only looking in self? He calls and he encourages, look to me, because you cannot be saved any other way. You can only be saved in him by his grace and by his grace alone. Are you so unfruitful? And he's looking upon your tree for fruit, and he has the right that your life of your tree would be filled with fruit. But do you see it's all stinking fruit? He says, from me is thy fruit found. Are you standing so afar off as that publican? God be merciful to be a sinner, so lost in self. Oh, may you see it, that in him he has everything. He has that sacrifice. That sacrifice that satisfied the justice of God. That through that sacrifice on the cross, he poured out his blood. And that's why he calls, look unto me, because I have righteousness to cover you. And I have blood to wash you, to cleanse you from all your guilt, but also to make your heart clean, to serve me. What a wonder, what an urgent command, but also what an encouraging command. Let's sing now. From Psalter 351, stanzas 1 and 2. 351, stanzas 1 and 2. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies, as servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays. And what follows? 351, stanzas 1 and 2. A loving command, look unto me and be ye saved. An urgent command. Did you hear it? Has it become urgent in your heart, in your life, in your soul? I must die. And how can I die and stand before a holy and just God, who will by no means clear the guilty? And I am guilty. Lord, is there a way? Is there a way for such a sinner back to thee? And has it become an encouraging command that he says, look unto me? And have you been drawn by his grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to turn away from self for the first time, or again and again and again, because we're such fools, we're so proud, we won't look to him, we want to look to everything else? And then we look to him, and we look back to what we have in ourselves. And we need to be called and commanded the first time and again to look unto me and to me alone for everything. But is it trustworthy? Is it trustworthy? Sometimes some people say things and they command us to do something because they mean something for our good. And we wonder, is it really trustworthy? Can we really trust this command? Can we really trust this invitation? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You get letters, right? In different ways. And you look, who's it from? Who's it from? You don't recognize the name. It's a name you can't even say. You think, well, that's just in the garbage. With much reverence and awe, there's a name. There's a name. Look in the text. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. It's a message from God. And in this chapter, 16 times, this letter is stamped with the name of the Almighty God of heaven and of earth, Jehovah. His name. You may trust it. It comes from him. It's not from Isaiah. He's a man of unclean lips. It's not from me either, congregation. I'm just a sinful instrument that must say, thus saith the Lord, and proclaim it to you with a prayer that it may be directed by the Holy Spirit to poor and needy sinners. Remember Peter and John? Children, remember? In Acts 3, there was that man lame, he couldn't walk. And then they came and he cried to them. He was a beggar. And then Peter and John said something to them. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. But they said something to him. Look on us. Look on us. But servants of God. And they healed him in the name of Jesus Christ because they were his representatives. The representatives of Jesus Christ. As servants, we have nothing. We need everything you need, congregation. But we must proclaim the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. But this morning, I am not called to you to look to any man. I am called to proclaim unto you. The Lord speaks. Look unto me. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Is it trustworthy? Read the chapter over again in your home. The Lord is speaking. It's a word of the Almighty God. I am that I am. He who cannot lie. He who is infinitely true. He who is infinitely perfect and holy and just and right. He's a just Savior and God. He's an Almighty One. And what he says, you can trust it. Satan or Eve distrusted what God said, and she trusted what Satan said. That's our guilt. That's our fault. That's our wickedness. That's our totally depraved heart. We hear his word and we say, is it really true? Is it really true? But when by God's grace we may listen and we may have an ear to hear what he says, and that we may trust it, then it comes with comfort. It comes with comfort. Is it true that those that look unto him shall be saved? Let's go to an Old Testament history. Remember, in the wilderness, the Israelites had rebelled against God. And God sent those fiery serpents to bite. Sinners were dying. They confessed their sin. And Moses was commanded by God to make a serpent and to lift it up on a pole. And he had to give the command and the promise to look and you will live. Look and ye shall live. And then when we read in that history, how many looked and perished? It was God's word. It wasn't Moses' word. It's God's word. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It can be trusted. None. Not one Israelite. Not one perishing Israelite with all that venom of sin in themselves that looked away from self and that looked to that serpent that trusted the word of God died. Not one. Not one poor beggar. Not one perishing, guilty, hell-worthy sinners that hears and by God's grace looks away from self, maybe with such a trembling poor look, but looks to him, will perish. They will not, because it's his work, because it's for his name, because it's for his glory. It's all sealed in that covenant work of the Almighty God, sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, where are you looking? Are you still looking to self? I hope it comes all to death. Absolutely to death. And I hope you become absolutely lost. Oh, I hope those Bolivians hear the word of God and that are not looking anymore to such hopeless images. I hope the word is blessed richly there to the salvation of many of them. But I pray for you also, congregation, that the word of God may be richly blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you become absolutely guilty and lost. I've been looking everywhere else to satisfy my soul, and I haven't been looking to God at all. I had no need for him, but that you become lost, and that the Lord leads you and teaches you. It's all filthy. It's all sin. It's all lost. And I have nothing. That you just have beggar's hands. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, that you become lost. I have nothing of myself, but I need him. And that you hear his voice, and that it comes with power. Look unto me and be saved. And that you cannot help, but that you just look. It's an act of faith. Faith. And God has the gift of faith. And he works in, leads to death, and he calls to look to him, because all life is only in him and in him alone. And he even adds an oath. Look at the next verse. We read verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And then verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness. He has sworn it with an oath. It's trustworthy, my friend. The problem is my heart. The problem is your heart. It's our unbelief. It's our wickedness. But it is trustworthy. And there's a people who cling. Who cling to what God says. Who brings back his word to him. As David did. Lord, do as thou hast said. Lord, thou hast said. Thou hast said that if I just look, and Lord, give me those eyes, give me that faith, give me that heart, give me everything. Turn me and I shall be turned. And thou hast said that salvation is in thee. Lord, have mercy. Give me everything that I need of. And maybe your question is, have I looked? He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Maybe your question, have I looked? Do I really have that true saving faith in him? How may we know? How may we know? What does Peter say? He reveals himself by the Holy Spirit, as John wrote. And they have eyes of faith. It's an expression to see him physically. No, to see him through the word. They see him through the lattice of the word. He becomes necessary. He becomes absolutely suitable exactly for their soul. And he becomes precious. How do you know if you have faith? This question. Has he become precious? More precious than anything else. More precious than anyone else. And only in him alone is all your hope. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. My unconverted friend. The Lord speaks. Look unto me and be ye saved. Are you still fighting against him? What do we read in verse 9? Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. That's you and me by nature. But woe. Woe unto you if you continue striving. Continue fighting. Continue resisting. You will perish. You will not win the battle. But may God renew you. And that all the weapons of resistance are absolutely taken away. And you become lost. And you need him for everything. How shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? Those Bolivians, I don't think they have heard the word, so many of them yet. Can you blame them that they look to something else and yet they're guilty? But you and I have so much knowledge. So much knowledge. It's such a blessing. But it's not enough, congregation. It's not enough. You need the life in your heart and in your soul. You don't only need to have a big head with all kinds of doctrine. You need a heart, a new heart, a heart for God. As a lost sinner looking for everything in him and church of God. Listen. Listen to your instruction. Look. And continue looking. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where are you looking again, children of God? Are you looking within again? Are you looking for different places? Do you find it's all death? I hope you heard his voice again. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. Oh, there's such a precious book by Isaac Ambrosi. It's on this text. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, buy it, read it, a little piece every day. It's so instructive. It's all about looking unto the only Savior. May the Lord work mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, renewing hearts and turning sinners away from everything else and to look with those eyes of faith, waiting, hoping, looking on that only Savior. And those that begin to look by God's grace shall not be put to shame. One day, the Lord will come and take them home. And then they will be looking face to face. They will see them, him, with his own eye. Not through darkness, not obscure, but they will see him as he is. That's the future when they awake in his likeness, in righteousness, eternal, uninterrupted, looking unto him. Blessed future, all to the glory of God. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thy word has gone out. The command to look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless it powerfully, irresistibly, that rich young rulers become lost, Pharisees become lost, prodigals become lost, because we are lost. We don't see it. We don't feel it. There's no need. Lord, work mightily, powerfully, convert sinners unto thee, and turn sinners unto thee, to look to thee for everything. And remember all thy dear children also, Lord. Oh, we're so worldly yet, so foolish, so proud. Oh, wilt thou give them that we may lose more and more, become stripped more and more of everything of self, and only be satisfied with thee. Lord, turn us, and we shall be turned. Draw us, and we will run after thee. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us together again in this morning. Thou hast helped through, for without thee we can do nothing. Blessed for the glory of thy name. help the elders in the teaching of catechism, and help the students. Make it also a blessing, we pray. Bring us together again in this evening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 398, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burden once bowed down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. The eyes of all upon thee wait. By thee their wants are all supplied. Thy open hand is bountiful, and every soul is satisfied. Psalter 398, all three stanzas.
Thank you.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.